Year-old boy who went to a tent crusade, and the word of God was preached, and this boy trusted the Lord, and then he invited his friend to make that decision too. Sometimes you could feel pressured by your peers. And so that boy went forward and made a profession of faith. And between that time, 1987 to 1989, he attended church. Was in converts class and getting ready to be baptized. But had serious doubts about his salvation. And that young boy, knowing the Romans road, understanding the plan of salvation, fearing that if he gets baptized and was not certain about his salvation, would spend eternity in hell because of his pride, went home into his bedroom, opened the Bible to the book of Romans, went through the Romans road, Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 10, and said to the Lord with tears coming down his eyes, "Lord, I know I have said that prayer before, but yet I still feel empty. I do not want to be in the house of God and pretend that I'm saved and die and spend eternity in hell." So with tears coming down his eyes, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive him of all his sins and come into his heart and save him. As a 14-year-old boy in 1989. God gloriously saved him, placed him in Mama Kian Independent Baptist Church under the watchful care of Pastor Michael Lambert, and has been there all his Christian life until God called him for Bible school. Now, that boy was not very studious. He went to school and he just loved cricket and soccer. If they could play cricket and soccer all day, he's not going to worry about math and English and social studies and geography and none of those stuff. So when God called him to Bible school, it was a hard task because in his mind, you're done with the books. But one Sunday as his pastor was preaching, God is looking for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but he found none. And I remember vividly, as the pastor preached that, and as he concluded his sermon, he quoted from Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether you're going to serve the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood, the God of the Amalekites and the God of the Amorites. But as for me and my house," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." And God squeezed his heart. And you know, when you squeeze somebody's heart, you know what happens? The juice comes out of the eyes. And so the tears start flowing down. And he went before the altar, knelt there, and cried, wept, and sobbed. And the preacher came and placed his arms around him and asked him what was the matter. And he said, "I felt like God is calling me to school, but I don't think I want to go to school." He waited 2 years and then left Grenada, went to Puerto Rico, to Calvary Baptist Bible College, where he studied. And as a young man standing before you this afternoon, I thank God for saving my soul. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 26. And while you're turning there, if you'd find your place also in John's Gospel, chapter 8. I want to read to you a few verses of Scripture. But two of the verses of Scripture, to me, that I find are the saddest verses of Scripture in the Word of God. Maybe to you it's different, but to me it is. Matthew, chapter 26. Let's read from verse number 20. "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand in the with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Verse 24. I believe this is one of the saddest verses of scripture you would read in the entire Bible. It says, The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And that is the phrase. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Now, I want you to think about that for a while. You were born as a baby, some premature, maybe 7 months. Maybe you had to be under the incubator for a few months. Maybe you make the full term. Maybe you were a big baby too. 8 pounds or 9 pounds. There are some 10 pounds baby. Then you've grown up to be a young person, a teenager, youth, a young adult. You've grown into adulthood. And to hear these words be said about you that it would be better if you had not been born. I don't know what goes through your mind. But when I read that, it really gripped my attention. So I want you to keep that thought in your mind this afternoon as we go through the Word of God. But turn with me one more place. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and they would not believe him as the Messiah. They would not believe him as the Son of God, as the only Savior of humanity. Jesus said in verse number 23, let me read verse 22. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whether I go, he cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. This is a very sad statement. The Lord said it would have been better that you've not been born than to be born and die without Christ. It would have been better that you never existed than to die in your sins. Now, as I read this passage of scripture in Matthew, I ask myself, why would the Lord Jesus Christ choose Judas to be one of his disciples? And I believe there is a reason for that. And we probably get to touch that, so let's look to the Lord in prayer and give you a few points, give an invitation after this. Oh, gracious God and eternal Father, we humbly bow in thy presence this afternoon. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we depend on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, this afternoon, as your word would be preached, that it would minister grace unto the hearers. If there is any in our midst this afternoon, Lord, that do not know you as Lord and Savior, may they see the need for salvation. Or else it would have been better that he had not been born. Lord, we pray, O God, that you would bind the forces of darkness. You would bring to nothing the work and the plan of Satan. We know he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we thank you that Jesus came that man might have life and have it more abundantly. We pray for us as believers tonight, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be sobered. And Lord, we design our own hearts to live to please you. We'll be mindful and careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I want to share with you for the next few minutes on the topic. Preacher, I could take this mic out for a while.
All right, thank you.
I want to share with you for the next few minutes on the topic, going to hell from the church house. Going to hell
from the church house. Now, I believe with all my heart that there are a lot of persons that are going to sit in church, sit under the hearing of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. And, wow, turn on a little bit because I have a big mouth too, right? And they are going to spend eternity in hell. Now, that is a fear of man. The Bible says in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, not all that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And at that time of judgment, many would say, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? And haven't we cast out demons in thy name? And the Lord would say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now that's sad. So I want to focus a little bit this afternoon on the life of Judas. And I want you to go with me now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10. Now in John's Gospel, you're going to Matthew, but I'm quoting from John's Gospel while you're going there. I'll meet you right there, right? John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse number 70, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, have not I chosen ye 12, but one is a devil. Jesus chose 12 disciples to start his earthly ministry. He chose 12 men when he started his church. Now, I believe the scripture gives us enough evidence to prove that the church was started by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. And he started the church with his 12 disciples. And he commissioned them. I believe the church was empowered in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost after Jesus would have left the disciples and ascended into heaven. As long as Jesus was with the believers, he was their comforter. He was their paraclete. But after Jesus had departed, he said to them, I will send you another comforter. Another of the same kind. Now that is wonderful. Now the child of God is very privileged. Because the fact remains that as a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Now I understand why the Bible says God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The Spirit of God that indwells us enables us to overcome any kind of fear we'll be faced with. The Spirit of God that indwells us is God Himself. Now, I want you to understand that God is a spirit. I want you to understand this afternoon that there is three in heaven that bear record. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So you walk around with God. That's if you are saved. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, wherever you go, God is with you and in you. But I ask myself this question. Jesus chose 12, and one of the 12 is a devil. And so I ask myself, why will Jesus choose a devil to be in his church? Now understand that Jesus Christ is God. So he knew that Judas was a devil from the beginning. No, I'm not a Pentecostal, so I don't believe as the. I don't believe you could lose your salvation. I believe you're saved. If you are saved, you are sealed unto the day of redemption for all eternity. But I believe there are a lot of persons that has made a profession of faith, but has never experienced the saving grace of our God. And that confuses us. Because we look at someone that leaves the church and we say, he was a Christian. Or you hear someone say, I used to be a Christian. There is nothing as a used to be Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. You may be a disobedient Christian or an obedient Christian. You may be a faithful Christian or a backslidden Christian. But if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you are a child of God. But Jesus chose a devil. So why? Pastor Kobe, can I ask you a question? You're the pastor of this church. Will you choose a devil to be a member of this congregation? All right. Pastor Hill, will you choose a devil to be? None of these pastors wants to be. Adrian, where are you, man? Will you choose a devil to be a member in your church? No, that's a no. So why will Jesus choose a devil to be a member of the original crew, the foundation of the church? So I read that. As I meditate upon that, there are two things that came to my mind. And I want to share them with you quickly in passing. First of all, I believe Jesus, knowing Judas was a devil, yet chose him because he wanted to give him an opportunity to be saved. See, the Lord is not biased, you know. Doesn't matter the texture of your hair or the color of your skin. All men are sinners. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Now, neither I believe in hyper-Calvinism. I don't believe that man has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. But if you're convicted by the Spirit of God, you have a responsibility to respond. No, if I believe that, you know, man has absolutely nothing to do with salvation, then there are some verses in the scripture that we would have to remove. There are those that believe that there are some that are elected for hell. Now, that's heresy, you know. That's false doctrine. Or else we have to rip John 3:16 out of the Bible. For God so loved the world. That's all inclusive. The world, red and yellow, black and white, Indian, Dogla, Chinese, Negro, you name it. God sent his son to die for all mankind. I said, God is not willing that any should perish, but all. Remember when we were in Bible school? One of our brothers said, I searched all the dictionaries to find out what the word all means, and I find that all means all. And that's all it means. You didn't have to search all the dictionaries for that. You probably could have just Googled that, right? But Jesus chose him. So I want you to realize a few things about Judas. First of all, I want you to realize in chapter 10 of Matthew that he was called. The Bible says in verse number 1, and when he, that's Jesus, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Now I want you to think with me. I want you to be engaged with me, right? How many he chose? How many he gave power? 12. 12. All 12 had power. So he chose 12, and he gave all 12 of them power against what? Unclean spirit. In other words, all 12 of the disciples that Jesus chose had the ability and the power to cast out demons. Now remember, Judas is still a devil. That is why I understand when Matthew says, they will say, many will say, Lord, have not we cast out demons in your name? The Bible says they cast out demons or devils, unclean spirits, and to heal all manner of what? Sicknesses, all manner of sicknesses. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. There were cancer back then. I believe Judas would have laid his hand on some person that was sick, and they would have been recovered from their sickness. All manner of sicknesses. And all manner of diseases, the Bible says. And the Bible gives us the list of them. And so we're not going to go through these. You're reading from verse 2. The names of the 12 apostles, they are mentioned. But I also believe the very fact that Jesus chose Judas, knowing that he was a devil, giving him an opportunity to be saved. And Jesus in his wisdom, Jesus in his understanding and all knowledge, knew that Judas would never trust him, yet he chose him. You know, I conclude that there must be another reason. To remind us as pastors and preachers that we must not take for granted that every person that sits in the house of God and says, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, that we call brother or sister is saved. And if you come to that place to believe that, you'll be very naive. When I came to that realization, I understand, listen, I'm not a judge. Because Jesus said the wheat and the tear must grow together. Let them grow, let them grow. Let them grow. Don't pull sometimes the one that does not look like the Christian. Sometimes the one that does not behave like the Christian is the Christian. Sometimes the one that looks, smells, sing, and act like the Christian is the devil. Now, I want to say something else this afternoon. I want us to just do this for a while. Let's suppose, right, that we just take a little count. Let's say each row has 6 persons, and we're going back. So 6, 12, 12, 12, 12. And we count that. After every 2 rows, or within every 2 rows, there might be a devil. Now, what you don't understand what I'm saying? I just want you to watch me. I want you to stay with me. Watch where I'm heading. Because Jesus chose 12, and out of the 12, one was a. Now, I'm not saying that that is the case, but it is very possible that out of every 12, there is a devil. No, we're going to stop here. Now, you have some inside there. How many of you inside there? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The 4 in the room, up to that dear lady here, there is a devil in the midst. No, I'm not saying there is a devil in the midst. I come to you, right? Yeah. That's the devil. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't root up, Pastor Kobe. Don't root up. Don't root up. He said that's the devil in the midst. You probably save more than him, right? And then we come from here, Sister Anna, and we come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And we stop at that youngster there. And there's a devil in that group too. And we call another 12, and there's another devil. And we go in another 12, go right back here. I'm not a devil, amen, bless God. I am representing Jesus. So I'm not the devil. But I just want you to catch the picture. Because there are people sitting among us that profess to know Christ, that act like Christian. We call them brother and sister, but we do not know they're a devil. That's what I'm saying. So if out of every 12 there's a devil, there are a few devils inside here. But I want you to watch with me, because first of all, Judas was called. The Bible says many are called. The word many, derives from a Greek word, paso, it means all. So God has extended his invitation for salvation to all men. All. So all of us are called. All of us have an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Judas was called to salvation just like you were called. But like I said, I believe God chose him to remind us as pastors that, listen, maybe so that we don't get too complacent. Maybe so that we don't get too proud. That there are some devils in the congregation that's going to try to undermine the work. Catch what I'm saying? So I don't take things for granted. But I want you to understand, not only that he was called, but Jesus literally handpicked him. He chose him. He said, I have chosen 12. And one out of that 12 is a devil. Now that message is dear to my heart. Not too long ago, my son, we were having devotion, and he said, Daddy, can you take the Bible and show me how to be saved? Now, keep it in mind, this young boy has made about 5 professions of faith before. But you know what? He could make as much as 100. If you make 100 professions of faith, somewhere down the line, you'll get it right. I'm telling you. It means that you have a heart, or you have a desire to want to know God. And I would never say to my children, you're saved. You trusted the Lord when you were 8 years, or when you were 9 years, or when you were 12 years, you gave your life to Christ. You don't know the heart of an individual. I am hoping you did. I am hoping you are sincere. I am hoping you are genuine. But I do not know for sure that you're saved. Hey, I want to say this afternoon. I know only one person in this building that is saved. That's me. That's me. I can only speak for myself. No, I hope you're saved. I hope I can genuinely call you. Hey, brother, it's good to see you. But you know what the Bible talks about? It's preaching a few last Sunday at our church. False brethren that came into the church to spy out our liberty. False brethren. It means, you know what, my friend? It has true brethren and it has false or fake brethren. But Judas was numbered with the 12. He was called. He was chosen by the Lord. He performed miracles. He laid his hand upon the sick and they recovered. He cast out demons. That's why the Bible says salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us. You know what? More we think because we're going to church and we're reading our Bible and we're praying that we are saved. One of the greatest dangers I've seen is that of children that were reborn and raised in Christian homes. I've spoken to a lot of persons, different places, who grew up in a Christian home. And some of them would admit, not all, some of them genuinely trust the Lord at a young age and grew up and serve the Lord. But some would admit that they made a profession of faith, but they had doubts whether or not they were saved. I tell people this. We'll come to that in a while. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. So, they are there at the Passover. And the Bible says that Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Now, I want you to put yourself in every group of 12. And the Lord is saying, one of you out of every 12 will betray me. One of you. And so when Jesus said that, look with me here in the word of God, here in verse number 21. And as they did it, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? No, everybody was focused on himself. Peter, who is so impetuous, was not saying, you know, I feel it's John, you know. I feel it's James. You know, these guys are the sons of thunder. They're not easy, you know. It could be one of them. No, everybody starts touching themselves and saying, Lord, is it I? Am I the one that's going to betray you? It's their concern. So I want you to realize what is happening here. Not only that Judas was called, but Judas had a choice. I want to say to us this evening that there is going to come a time in your life when you would have a last opportunity to make it right. Last opportunity. Either Jesus would come and rapture the church, or you would die thinking, you know, prior to that, that you would live a little longer. So I want you to realize what is happening to him. They ask him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Now that's a clue. Now these guys were looking around and they said, oh, it's you. But everybody was so concerned about themselves and making sure it is not them. They did not even think about what Jesus said. Now I want you to realize, Judas was no ordinary church member. He was the treasurer. I don't know who the treasurer is here. I don't want to know. Neither am I saying that because you're the treasurer that you are a devil. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that Judas held a position in church. He was well respected. As a matter of fact, in one of the gospels, it says, when he said that, they thought, you know, it was because Judas held a bag. But he was thinking about, you know, when he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, well, Judas, you know, deals with the money. So he was involved in church. He was there. Could I say that there are a lot of people that are in the house of God that are involved in things in the house of God? Their hands are in it, but their heart is not in it. That's exactly what was happening. His hands was in it, but his heart was not in it, my friend, because if your heart is not right with God, if you're not saved, and if you're not born again, all that you do in church is dead works. So Judas was chosen. Judas now here has a choice, the Bible says, and he answered and said, he gave them a clue in verse number 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Now I want you to put yourself in that position. I want you to ask yourself this. I want you to speak to yourself for a while. And see if you could say those words to yourself. It would have been better if I had not been born now. You know why? Because there are a lot of persons, listen, their life is about making money. Their life is about education. Their life is about popularity. There is nothing in them that is about God. I want to say to you, Solomon, that's one of my favorite chapters when it comes to just this life. Just this life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon said, listen, I had everything I wanted. I had women, I had wine, I had wealth, you just name it. I had it. There was none before me that was rich as I am. There would be none that would come after me that was rich as I am. He said, and with all of that, I maintained my wisdom. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 17, Solomon said, but I hated life. But I love life. I tell people, we have a little motto at our church. We say, I don't want to die. I've been living for 43 years, almost 44 years. I've never been dead. So I don't know what it means. Well, I don't know what it feels like to be dead. I love life. I'd rather be alive with a headache than to be dead and people weeping over me. I'd rather be alive with a toothache than to be laid in a coffin and saying, he was such a nice guy. He was such a darling. He was so sweet. And then you head into hell. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesseth. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you are not enjoying life. Sometimes people try to make you feel that you are missing out on life because you don't have this and you don't have that. But I want to say to you, listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, you don't have life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. You're dead. You are dead waiting to die. You understand that? Oh, but they make us feel, people, I'm sorry for this Christian. Church Sunday morning and church Sunday night. All this church, that's okay. I've been going to church for 29 years and ain't get weary yet. When you go to your carnival, it finishes after a few days, 10 days of Vinci Mass. And after 10 days, it's over. And you have to look for a little weekend to find some jam somewhere in a corner. But when you're in Christ and you know Christ and the Spirit of God dwells in you, hey, there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I tell you something, the disciples had something that Judas didn't have. But I want you to see something. They might have a choice here, but look with me. The Bible says this. Woe unto that man who betrayed the Son of Man had been good if he had not been born. Look with me. The Bible says, then, so all the apostles, Lord, is it I? Is it then? Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, what? Master, is it I? You see, you have to speak the language. When you want to fit in and you don't want anybody to know that you are a wolf in sheep clothing, that you are a snake that weaved your way in the body of Christ, you have to speak the same language. So they said, Lord, is it I? Judas said, Master, is it I? Listen, let me say this to you. There is not a person sitting in this building or standing in this building. If you're not saved, do not know that you're not saved. You're just fooling yourself and tricking yourself and trying to walk up yourself. And well, I saved. I remember when I... by the way, let me just pause here for a while and let me just say this. Salvation is not a prayer. Salvation is not a profession. You see, many times somebody say, you know, just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're saved. You don't get saved that way. If somebody tells you, you said a prayer and you're saved, you better go back to Calvary. Salvation is more than a prayer. Friends, I want to say to us this evening, except you are convicted of your sins by the Holy Spirit of God, if you think you are good enough the way you are, and all you need to do is just say a little prayer, and after that get baptized and attend church, and you're good, you're deceiving yourself. Salvation is a personal relationship between an individual and his creator. No one must props you. No one must say to you, well, go forward, go and give your life to Christ. You know, hey, you know, go, you want me to go with you? Listen, I mean, when the Spirit of God convicts an individual, preach one time. And somebody got up, and afterwards they said to me, they said, Pastor, I don't know how I get up, you know. I know I didn't get up. Because I sitting down and I holding this, this chair real hard, but all of a sudden it's like something pushed me up. When you are convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and you have a desire in your heart to want to get to know God, nobody don't have to nudge you. Nobody don't have to push you. Nobody don't have to put a hand around you and say, let's go, let's walk up the aisle together. You what? Listen, you would walk these aisles and you don't even know if you have people inside you. Because it is only between you and God right now. I believe sometimes we send people to hell by telling them, you know, well, honey, you trusted the Lord so and so. You didn't know that. And so sometimes people in our churches that grew up in Christian homes, they have no desire for church. They have no desire for spiritual things, you know. All they want to do is hang out and party and land with a set of ungodly, wicked friends. And then when they reach the age where mommy or daddy cannot tell them anything, they just branch out. And we say, what? That was a church girl, you know. There's a girl back home sing a song. She grew up in church and she was in church. She was there because she had to be there because of her parents. She turned into Calypso. And dressing smutty and wicked and sung a song saying, I am not a saint. But she's right. She's not a saint. You become a saint when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So Judas said, Master, is it I? It is impossible. You hear me? Impossible for God to be living inside of you and you not know it. Impossible. You know that little chorus, children chorus? My God is so, do the action for me. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there is nothing. How could a big, strong, mighty God come and live in your heart and you don't know it? You crazy? But also, it is impossible for God to not be in your heart and you not know it. If God is not in you, you must know it. You're empty. You're always searching. You're always groping. You're always looking for hope and for satisfaction. Hey, but in Christ we are satisfied. So Judas asked, you know, Master, is it I? That's just pretense. Judas now has a choice. He knew it was him. You know why? Because earlier on in the chapter, after Jesus was anointed, when the alabaster box of ointment was broken and he was anointed, and the disciples said, man, why is she wasting that on him? We could have taken that and sell it and collect the money and give it to the poor. But like I said this morning, nothing is wasted on Jesus. You know, Jesus said, the poor you have always with you, man. Leave the woman alone. Anyway, from now on, everywhere the gospel is preached, she would be mentioned as a memorial. Every time we preach the gospel, that woman is involved for her one act. You know, right after that, the Bible says, Judas left the company and he went out to the chief priests. After he had plotted with them to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So he knew the plan was already made. You know, they agree on a price. He said, I know the place where he is. He said, listen, I'm going to go there. I'm going to kiss him. So he knew that he's the devil. And instead of Judas, no, the man have a choice to get right. He has a choice to get saved. But just because he don't want the other disciples to believe, hey, Judas, is you, boy? I would have never believed it's you. All the time my mind thinking is Peter, you know Peter is there. All the time I'm thinking it's Peter. Judas? No, man, you surprised me. Judas did not want them to know it was him, so he just played the game. You know there are a lot of people that play in church? Is it I? You know it's you. Don't ask if it is. You know it's you. You know you're the devil in that group. You know you're the devil in that group. I'm just moving my hand. You understand what I'm saying? You know you're the devil in that group. And you're the devil in that group here. You know. Don't ask. Don't talk to your neighbor with your elbows. Is it I? You know it's you. What you need to do is own up. What you need to do is break your pride. I'll share this with you. I was preaching in a church. Well, sharing in Sunday school in church. I shared that. In Sunday school. And after I shared that, as a Sunday school lesson, I give an invitation. When I gave the invitation, four guys lifted their hand. Three guys, they were studying there in the Christian school. They were from the Bahamas. And the fourth one was the Sunday school teacher, who was the pastor's son. Now, I thought they did not understand me clearly because I'm Grenadian. And maybe I had a little diction, you know. So I asked them to close their eyes and bow their heads again, and I tried to speak slow and kind of proper. So I said, if you're here and you're not certain that if you die today, you're going to spend eternity in heaven, can I see your hand? And the hands went up again. So I asked the others to leave the class, and I stayed with them, and I shared the plan of salvation. Now this guy, the pastor's son, had gotten a Major League Baseball contract for $1.5 million. He turned it down to work in the church and school ministry to be the games teacher because the church didn't have one. When I spoke to the missions director that said that he was the best man in that guy's wedding, he said to me, he said, Oscar, you know what? Me and that guy, we went out soul winning and giving out tracts, and a lot of persons got saved. So after that happened, I asked him for a while. I said, Amen, man. I was not expecting you. What happened? He said, Preacher, I grew up in a Christian home, but several times we would go, my sister and I would, like, if we go to the mall or we go somewhere and she go into a store and I didn't see her, I would wonder if the rapture comes and I got left behind. He said, but I was fearful to speak to my dad because I grew up in a Christian home. I'm now in my 20s, you know. Everybody thinks that I'm saved. I did not know how to address this. So he trusted the Lord. We walked out into the church auditorium after the Sunday school. We're going to get ready for the morning service. The evening they were supposed to have communion service. The preacher said to me, he said, Brother Robin, you know that you're preaching this morning. I didn't know. So I am battling, oh my Lord, what am I preaching this morning? I didn't know I'm preaching. What am I going to preach? The Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to preach the same message that you taught in Sunday school. So you teach it, but now you're going to preach. You'll get to just shout and scream, you know. You'll sound a little different. So I preached the same. He went out and he told his dad. The dad said to the church, listen, this man got saved, or whatever the case might be. And so I preached the message now that I taught in Sunday school in the service. And when the invitation is given, three other persons that were members of the church came forward and trusted Christ. One of them was the assistant pastor's daughter who was a teacher in the Christian school. But I thank God that they were willing to break their pride. Now, I went to another place in Georgia. I said, boy, there's someone walking past the hill. I mean, you're preaching and people again say, why change it? If you're using something and it's working, you don't change the brush. You know, they say, don't change it if it's not broken, right? Don't try to fix it. So I preached the sermon again in a place called Baxley, Georgia. And a lady in her 50s came down the aisle with tears in her eyes on a crutch. One foot in plaster. And gave her life to Christ. Said, her husband is saved. Her daughter is saved. But she was not saved. A few years later, I was back there and we was up in another part in Georgia. And, you know, boy, if it's working, I'm not changing it. So I preach it. It's not one sermon I have, but hey, one is working, let's just use it, man. So I preached this sermon. There was a young lady in that church. She became a member of that church there in Georgia the Sunday before. They accept her into fellowship, the right hand of fellowship. She became a member about 3 weeks after she was supposed to get married. I preached this sermon, and I saw this young girl sat in her seat, about 3 rows back, and grabbed onto her feet. She's American, so she caught my red, and she was crying and sobbing. She came down the aisle and trusted the Lord. She came back in the evening service, and she said to me, she said, Pastor, you know what? I could have taken my Bible and shared the gospel with anybody and lead any soul to the Lord. She said, but after I trusted the Lord this morning, I went home and I knelt by my bedside. She said, and for the first time in my life, I literally felt as if God was right next to me. That's what I'm saying. Folks, I'm saying all of that to say this, that there are people in the house of God that we call brothers and sisters that may have made a profession of faith, but there has been no regeneration, no change in their life. And you don't know it, but they know it. And maybe it is their pride that would allow them not to get up from their seats when the invitation is given and walk this aisle because they're thinking about all the people that are watching them. So they'd rather to go to hell because of the pride and the people that are watching them than to make it right and know for sure that if death strikes, they're going to spend eternity in heaven. So I don't want to continue much longer. So Judas had a choice, but instead of him making it right, that was his last opportunity to trust the Lord. In one of the other gospels, you know what the Bible says? After he had dipped in the soup, the Bible said Satan entered him. When Satan entered him, you sell your soul. That's it. There's no other opportunity. He could have said, Lord, it is I. Lord, it is I. I'm the one that plotted with the high priest and the chief priest to sell you out. But Lord, I'm not going to do it anymore. I want to be saved. He just played the game. Just fit in. What do you call that lizard that changes his color? What do you call it? Chameleon Christian. Blend in. Fit in. But you know, he's not saved. He had a choice and he made the wrong choice because of his pride. I know exactly what I'm talking about because if I didn't do that, my pride would have kept me from trusting the Lord. It's a 14-year-old boy. But I want you to realize not only that Judas was called, he was chosen, he had a choice, but I'm closing. Turn with me in chapter 27. Bible says in verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that what happened to him? He was condemned. The Bible says in John 3:60, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So there should have been no reason why Judas would have to die and go to hell. One man said it this way: Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Jesus is the door, you know. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pastures. He's the door. He said, if you try to come up anywhere, you are a thief and a robber. Judas kissed Jesus and betrayed him with a kiss. He kissed the door to heaven. If you want to say that way, the door opened and he peeped inside heaven. But he chose to go to hell. I want to say to you, not only that he was called, chosen, and had a choice. But as I close, I want to say to you, if you sit in this building this afternoon, and you know you're not saved, or you may have said a prayer, you've made a profession of faith, you may have even been baptized, but you know that God is not in your heart. You know. It's impossible for you not to know. And you choose to walk out of this building without making it right. This is what you're doing. So the Bible says in chapter 27 and verse 3, then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned to hell, to the lake of fire, repented himself. The word repented himself here doesn't mean that he repented and received Christ. He was sorrowful about the act that he committed, but by then it was too late. You know, the old people say, too late shall be your cry. It was too late. His last opportunity was at the supper. When the Lord said, and all the disciples said, he said, I, that was his last opportunity to make it right. Passed upon it. Could I say to us that today could be your last opportunity? You can live here and go home, go to bed, and do not wake up in the morning. And if you go home and you die in your sleep, and you fail to receive Jesus Christ because of your pride, you'd have been just like, it would have been better that you had not been born. So the Bible says, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders and saying, I have sinned. You think he didn't know that all the time? I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? I said this morning at Bethany, the people that would cause you to indulge in their sinful pleasures and activities, when you end up in your mess, you know what they're going to turn around and tell? I'm going to tell you in Grenadian language. They're not my business. What are you telling me that for? You understand what I'm saying? When Judas realized he was condemned, he brought back the money and he threw it to the people. They said, I've betrayed innocent blood. The chief priest said, listen, I don't know. We don't know. Hey, we had an agreement. We want Jesus and you want silver. We give you silver, we get with Jesus. Right out, you know. Move on. You understand what I'm saying? They covenanted. I got what I want, you got what you want. And like I said to the young people this morning, you know what? You want to be involved in drugs, you know what? The man get his drugs and you don't get your money. He got his drug, he get the money, and you get a gunshot. Oh, so you live your life and you have friends and you have fun. You get the sex, you get the baby, and the man say, well, you're not my child. And if you're not ready for no child yet, so you abort the child, you kill the child, you murder the child. So when Judas realized that he was condemned, the Bible says, he went back to Detroit. They didn't even want the money in the church. They said, we can't put it in the treasury. That's blood money. You know what they take with the money? Like I tell them this morning at Bethany, I say, listen, Judas couldn't even drink a malt with the silver that he had. He couldn't even buy a chocolate with the 30 pieces of silver. Waste of time, waste of life. But there was a man that was with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years in his earthly ministry. He performed the miracles. He saw the miracles. He ate with Jesus. He drank with Jesus. He hugged him up. And yet he chose to reject Christ and spend eternity in hell. And there are some people in this building tonight that is doing the same thing. To turn away from Christ when you have an opportunity to trust him is to commit suicide. You can't deal with it. You just hang yourself. So I want to ask you a question as I close. Are you saved? Are you sure that you're born again? Can you remember a time and a place when you were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God of your sinful condition and you were broken about your sins and repented and invited Christ into your heart and you know that you're saved? There is no doubt in your mind. There is no if. There is no perhaps. The Bible says, listen, salvation is a no-so salvation that you may know that you have eternal life. You either have it or you don't have it. There's no in-between. I want to say to you, if you know you're not saved, don't be another Judas. Don't commit spiritual suicide. If you walk out of this place, what you're going to do, you're going to hang yourself. Well, let's bow. Our eyes close. Just for a moment.